This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. When looking for Blair's fill-in host, we had to decide whose summer vacation we wanted to ruin the most. Congrats, Gord. You drew the short straw. This is the Jeff Blair Show with guest host Gord Stelling on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I actually don't mind drawing the short straw this week. Gord Stelick in for Jeff Blair, who's in for Bob McCowan doing primetime sports later on. So looking forward to it. As I look to the, not Motley Crue, this is good. The Backstage Gang. How about that? Getting set for what's going on upcoming week. Of course, we'll have a lot to chat about heading down through the week for the Toronto Blue Jays and all of Major League Baseball. Trade deadline coming up. I did see that game yesterday. I still don't understand the triple play. I mean, I understand what a triple play is. I just don't understand how that one still happened. And I coach kids baseball. I'm not really good at coaching kids baseball, but I just, wow. We'll make some sense of that a little bit later on. Buck Martinez is going to join us. And wow, an unfortunate. At least when you do that, you hope to come back and win the game. But wasn't the case. Seattle Mariners walk-off home run, and the Jays limp back to town. Hopefully can get their act together at home. I know it's summertime, and it's 30-plus degrees, and I may talk too much hockey, but that's all people were talking to me this past weekend in Cambridge at a baseball tournament. And, people, as chatted with Dean Bladel about earlier, the front office of the Toronto Maple Leafs has certainly got people excited with the hirings over the past couple of months, so we will chat more about that. The Mike Babcock era on ice, joined by the Lou Lamoriello era off ice, which will also impact on ice, we hope, in a big and positive way, so we'll be chatting about that. Did want to talk one day, we can look at it as a postmortem. Pan Am Games, they came, they went. I will tell you my bias that I went to about four or five events. I'm on a staycation right now. I actually was at the track and field when I got the news about Lou Lamoriello being general manager of the Maple Leafs. I was out at York University. I loved it. I absolutely loved the events I went to for the Pan Am Games. And I know certainly leading up to them, no shortage of, it seemed like a shortage of supporters, no shortage of detractors anyway. But I sensed a whole different vibe from a lot of people anyway, as the last number of days ended. 217 medals for Canada. A lot of great stories on the field, in the pool, on the court, you name it. And a great job by Scott Russell, who's been really one of the few champions of amateur sports for so many years at CBC and got to show his wares over the last couple of weeks. Scott, thanks very much for joining us. How are you this morning?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. So you're getting a bit of a break after what was a 3 week straight?
Yeah, Gord, it was pretty well 3 weeks straight. But you know what? It was a wonderful time for the city of Toronto. It was a wonderful time for sport. And I kind of feel invigorated in a way, Gord. It was just a great, great celebration for the Canadian sports system. It was terrific.
Now, you cover everything when it comes to amateur sports. And as you sit here and qualify it, quantify it, you name it, how do you assess about a good event, a good games or not, and what about these games gives you the ability to offer that opinion?
I think going in, Gord, that there were many people who wondered whether or not people in the city of Toronto, which is a great sports city, let's face it, would embrace this kind of multi-sport games. They were worried about ticket sales. Even 2 weeks prior to the games, we were talking about only 400,000 tickets were sold. But what happened was, the athletes started to perform. We got some great results from people like Ellie Black, the gymnast, Damian Warner in track and field. And all of a sudden, people wanted to go. Tickets were in high demand. They sold more than a million tickets for these games, which is a Pan American Games record by far. But also, the assessment of what makes a great games is the spirit that develops in the host city. And I think that was undeniable, Gord. I mean, you saw full venues. You saw people waving flags. You saw people embrace these young superstars of sport. And you can't put a price on Canadians winning on home turf. That is, you know, priceless. So I think that's how you assess it, by the spirit that develops in the host city.
Scott Russell, the host of the Pan Am Games on CBC, joining Gord Stellick on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And let's talk about the lead up to the game, Scott, and tell me how much of my opinion you share in that. I think a mistake was made early on that people don't travel for the Pan Am Games. People might travel elsewhere for the Olympics, but we had them in Winnipeg in 1999. I thought that was a great event, and I think ultimately ours started to mirror that to a great degree. But heading into it, Scott, it seemed like the warnings were, we're going to be jammed. HOV lanes, it's going to be crazy. And I had a lot of friends said, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm getting out of town. This is going to be nuts. Instead of marketing to the people here, say, hey, you got great games, you got great festivals, you got great these ancillary events. And all of a sudden people discover that, yeah, these games are actually for us. And I think that that could have been done more earlier than the 11th hour.
I think you're probably right. I think the assumption was that we were going to be inundated with visitors from South American countries, particularly Brazil. I think the way to have looked at this, and in the end it was proven to be correct, is that these were a celebration of the people of Southern Ontario for the most part. And, you know, it was great to be here. Nathan Phillips Square was full with people for Panamania every night. There was great celebration going on there. I quite frankly, I know some people will disagree with this. I think people embrace the concept of the HOV lanes. It makes sense. It's probably going to be one of the legacies of these games that we'll have HOV lanes going forward in Toronto. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. This was, hey, come celebrate your athletes and your sport at home here in Toronto. And don't leave town. Hang out in Toronto and be a part of this great celebration in the city.
Okay, you're covering all the events, coordinating it, and you've seen so many different athletes and events. So when you're covering it, when did you have a couple of wow moments that afterwards you go, wow, that really impressed me?
Well, I mentioned Damian Warner in the decathlon. I frankly was surprised that Damian was going to even compete the decathlon this close to the World Championships, which are taking place in Beijing in August. But he desperately wanted to break Michael Smith's Canadian decathlon record at home, and he did that. It was a monumental performance scored. This guy is arguably Canada's greatest athlete right now, one of the greatest athletes in the world. To me, that's a wow moment. The other wow moments, seeing 17-year-olds like Emily Overholt in the swimming pool setting Pan American Games records and rising to the occasion in front of all those people at the pool. That's a wow moment to me. Ellie Black, you know, in front of a full Toronto Coliseum on the balance beam, sticking it and just, you know, becoming a star, and the people here recognizing how wonderful an athlete she is. Those all are wow moments to me.
A lot of coverage today and then a lot of talk about the Olympics. I've never chatted with you about your thoughts whether Toronto should make a bid or not, and has that changed over the last 3 weeks?
I've always believed that Toronto should make a bid, and I believe even more now that this is the right time for Toronto to make a bid. If not now, when? Boston is the USOC bid city, and the governor of Massachusetts refuses to back the bid. It's a really soft bid. Rome and Paris have had the Olympics before. I'm not sure the public sentiment wants to see another bid. I really think that Toronto has proven itself over the course of the Pan Am Games, and that now is the time. I think Thomas Bach, the head of the IOC, was here for 5 days, saw what was taking place in Toronto. I just think that now is the right time for Toronto to make the bid, Gordon. I think it's a can't-miss proposition, quite frankly.
Okay, I know you're going to enjoy some downtime at your cottage and, of course, work together a couple years at the CBC, but every time I tried to get an accurate map for your cottage for the extended Stelic family visit, it just something goes wrong. So if you could email that again, that would be a big help.
Gordon, I'm going to get right on it now. I'm on the highway. I'm almost there. My wife is saying, get off the phone with Gord Stelic and get to this cottage.
Okay, get to this cottage. Great job, Scott. Thanks for making time this morning.
Gord, thank you. Great to talk to you.
Scott Russell of CBC. Of course, he was the anchor of the Pan Am Games coverage and heading up north for a well-deserved rest. And as I mentioned earlier, I want to welcome our callers here at 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. It's come, it's gone. We talked about it for, it seemed like forever, but a lot of years. Kind of like a wedding. You talk and plan, and then all of a sudden it happens, and it's over. And then it's over too. Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, the your thoughts all these years later about things and 17 days, the Pan Am Games, your Pan Am experience, whether you went to some events or not, whether you're a person that thought one way and changed their opinion over the last number of days about the Pan Am Game experience. And as we chatted with Scott Russell about, is this something that has changed your opinion at all or reinforced it more about whether to make an Olympic bid for Toronto? 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Gord Stelic in on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Taking your calls, then we go to Andrew in Aurora. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I thought that the games were fantastic. I've attended 10 Olympic Games, and this definitely had an Olympic feel to it. And I strongly believe that the public got behind it. I know that it was, you know, they had problems with ticket sales about 2 weeks up before the games, but for them to pick up over a 500,000 ticket sales in the, you know, during the games, I thought that was phenomenal. I thought it was a strong showing. And I think that Toronto can really support and should support a 2024 bid.
You've been to 10 Olympic Games?
Yes, I have.
Wow. When did you start going?
I started in 1972 Munich when I was 10.
What's the best of the 10?
What's the best of the 10? Well, it's different. It's difficult to say because I've been to summer and winter. My favorite winter was Vancouver.
Okay.
And I guess my favorite summer would have been Los Angeles.
And what was your favorite event in the Pan Am Games, the ones you went to?
Oh, geez. It's hard to say. We were rowing in Canada, crushed it down at the Henley. Swimming was fantastic. My kids really enjoyed the rhythmic gymnastics, and we loved the volleyball as well. So you can't say one over the other, but going down to the Pan Am Park, hanging out around the distillery district, you really felt the vibe, and you really heard. And, you know, you have these reporters that are saying, hey, you know, these athletes were saying it was great. I've actually asked the athletes. I actually asked them what they thought of the food, what they thought of the accommodations, their beds, what they thought of Toronto. And everybody said it was fantastic, with the exception of one person.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks very much, Andrew. My favorite actually was the Rugby Sevens. That was a great event. Wow. Just kept coming and coming. The games were 14 minutes long. Saw a few of them. We'll go to Gary in North York. Gary, welcome to The Fan.
Hey, good morning. Gord, I guess one of the things, first of all, I was a naysayer for sure about the Pan Am Games. I was kind of caught up in the negativity. I read the paper every day. I followed what was going on. And by all accounts, I mean, I was mistaken. I think it was a fabulous event, a fabulous forum for Toronto to hold the Pan Am Games. And I've heard nothing but positive, you know, results, which is great. What I didn't understand, and I guess it complicated matters for me, was a bunch of the, you know, even the fan people, the sports commentators, were so negative about it, you know, prior to and leading up to the games. And I don't really understand, you know, why that was. I'm hoping you can shed some light on that.
Well, and I mentioned that earlier, and I think that they were positioned wrong, the games early on, about this, that there's going to be an overwhelming influx of people from other countries, so it's really not for the local person, and that was a perception that was inaccurate and shouldn't have been out there. So I think, and the negativity thing, it just always seems, you know, it's funny, Andrew from Aurora, the earlier caller, he talked about 1984 in Los Angeles, and I thought that was a great benchmark about Peter Uberoth and company just saying, you're not going to show up. Who cares? We're going to have our own party, and we're going to make it bigger and better than ever. The Americans and Canadians and a number of countries had boycotted the 1980 Summer Olympics. So in 84, when the Soviet bloc countries, or whatever term you want, communist countries, elected not to come over, most of them, and you thought that was going to be the death knell, and you're talking about horrible weather and pollution and smog and everything, and they just want to kick butt. And sure, they got more medals, and we got more medals because there were not the Soviet bloc countries there, for starters. And it's your party. It is what it is. And it's up to us, whatever it is in life you want to embrace and enjoy and are passionate about, just to do it. Now, the cost of the Pan Am Games, that's something you can look at and debate and say, was it worth it or not? Then you look at the facilities that are left, some great facilities, whether it's the swimming facility up in Scarborough. And was it worth it or not? I don't know, but at least I saw something done. At least infrastructure-wise, things have got done that way, and I believe that's another positive legacy from these games. 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Gord Stellick in for Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and talking about your Pan Am perception or experience, if you had one. Max is in Toronto. Hey, Max.
Hey, Gord, how are you?
Super.
Good to have you in this morning. I just wanted to say that I thought the games were a great idea, good support for athletes, and I think in the future Olympics will do very well. I was just a little disappointed with CBC's coverage. I thought, like, especially the baseball and stuff, not having things live, I thought that was pretty bush league. And compared to other countries which have it live, I thought we could have done a little better on that.
Yeah, I can answer the, because everybody was pumped and psyched to watch the baseball game last Sunday, and disappointed that it wasn't on. And I know from asking questions that apparently the field wasn't even wired, that they never planned to cover it because they like going in and out to the events, say like diving or gymnastics or, you know, event boxing, for example, events that you quickly can go in and out and capture. I believe some people at Sportsnet put something together so they were able to stream it online. So, I mean, that was done at the 11th hour, and I think that's where it came from. There was a miscalculation that the soccer game the next night that they felt was going to be big and covered, they should have done the baseball game the previous night. So you're right. I mean, I was watching volleyball yesterday in, it was like a Spanish station or something. I don't know if you watched it, Channel 35, you watch it? I don't know. So the Canadian team won, but it wasn't in English. But if you looked around a little bit, there were some nuggets you can find TV-wise that way. Dave's in Toronto. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Gordon, how are you doing?
Good.
I thought the, by the way, it was on Sportsnet at 11 o'clock, the volleyball as well.
Yeah, no, I was saying it, but I was, and Sportsnet had coverage, and there were other coverages, and, you know, maybe you had to look for it a bit, but I was explaining the baseball venue at that point that there were some challenges that way that people weren't aware of. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was disappointed, but I went to the track and field on Wednesday night, and I've been to a lot of sporting events. Probably the best one I ever went to was the Masters. And I tell you, that was right up there with the Masters. And what I was really impressed with, how on time everything was, how professional it was, and it was really fun. But what I was really disappointed about is the media, mainly like guys like Jeff Blair and Bob McCowan. They didn't say any, there was no news about the talking about the Pan Am Games. All they did was put it down. They talked about the Leafs and the trade deadline over and over and over again, where we had some of the best athletes in North America right here. They should have done more to it, and they should have been more involved. But they said, no, it's second rate. We don't want to be involved. That was disappointing to hear.
Well, I heard the many Pan Am reports, and I got to say, when I was at the track, as I kicked it off, everyone wanted to hear about Lou Lamoriello. I was enjoying the event. I was actually watching the decathlon, really enjoyed it. So I got to see the pole vault and the discus throw as part of it. I mean, these are events you never see. So that was kind of cool. So, yeah, I'm not going to debate about what other people said or not said. I'm giving you a chance for your say is what I'm doing right now. But let's face it, at the end of the day, everyone is excited about the Toronto Maple Leafs or hopes for them. And trade deadlines, baseball, hoping some magic or anything can be worked up to July 31st. But that's what I'm throwing out here. If your opinion's on the Pan Am Games, I'm glad yours was positive. Let's see what George in North York has to say. Hey, George.
Hey, Gord. How are you? Big fan of yours. How are you?
Thanks very much.
I don't know. I just didn't see it. I didn't see the glow. I work for a promotion company. We were trying to give away tickets at one point. We couldn't even, like, sell them. It was so bad. I went to a few events. I went to basketball. I went to baseball. They were just dead, like literally dead. So I know they sold a million tickets, but I think there was a lot of promotional type companies there. I don't know how many people actually scanned their ticket in, but we'll find out those numbers. But yeah, it was just a little rough sometimes going to things and they were like empty and like Canada was playing. It's like, wow. Like, I guess the people, like, you could ride the subway for free and that was a good idea, but I just couldn't understand why it was actually pretty dead in most places. And the second thing I just want to say, Canada brought their best team they've ever assembled, period. And I think it's a little embarrassing that the other countries didn't really, like Brazil won gold in basketball, that it was their C team, not even B. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, they are what they are. You're right. They're not.
The coverage was rough. All we saw was the grass. I'm glad we got to see him, but that's all we really saw. It was like 3 hours every night. Oh, my God. Like, it wasn't full coverage. That's why I think we're not ready for the Olympics. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 8% of our buildings, apparently, so we need 92% more buildings to facilitate an Olympic Games in 2024. I just don't see it.
I hadn't done the math on that. But anyway, that's cool. Thanks very much for your thoughts. And, for example, the Rugby Sevens that I went to was on the Saturday. And, it wasn't a big crowd, but it was great. You know what I mean? So to me, it obviously, if you have a full house, that makes it better. Beach volleyball, it was full, which isn't a ton of people. Brett, I saw you there. That's right. Yeah, I was the family pack. You were there. You were in the beer garden. I don't know. You probably could have sold your seat there. I don't know. But anyway, so it is what it is as far as the different listeners out there. So I'm going to go to Mac in Toronto now. Hey, Mac.
Oh, hey, Gord. How are you?
Good, sir.
Here's my thought. I went to the boxing at the Oshawa General Motors Center in Oshawa, which was fantastic. It was the medal round, and I really enjoyed it a lot. My general feeling about the Pan Am Games, however, is that it's kind of like you have a really great blind date, and you have a very intimate weekend, and then you say to yourself, gosh, you know, let's get married. And I'm not sure that's a really good idea, and so I'm not really sure about the Olympics either for the same
reason. So wait a sec. So you have a really good blind date,
right?
Then you have a great weekend, and
right.
You get married?
Well, that's
is that the story of your life?
Well, it's kind of like moving into the Olympics is like getting married after having a really nice weekend. The
okay.
Olympics are a bigger deal. I think I don't think the IOC has exactly distinguished itself yet in terms of corruption and bribes and all kinds of stuff that goes with it. I don't know if Toronto really wants to get into that game of it. And frankly, I think we should really wait and see what the costs are before we decide where we're going to go with this. I think that we need to, have a look at what the hotel bill was before we decide whether we want to buy a house together.
Okay, so to be clear, today you're saying, okay, it's been a great weekend, but you know what? You go back to school for another year. I'll go another year. It's not you. It's me. It's me. Whatever. That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we need to have a clear head about this before we move forward.
Okay. Well, we'll keep in touch, okay? Even though we're parting company.
Yeah, we'll still be friends, Gord.
Well, don't give that crap about a butterfly set it free. That's the killer, that one. And if it comes back, you're rinsed, buddy. You get that. You're rinsed. That butterfly ain't coming back. Let's go to Clifton in Etobicoke. Hey, Clifton.
Dr. G, well, you still use the Dr. G moniker, right?
You've heard me talk hoops.
Okay, buddy.
Okay.
Listen, I'm thinking that if we were to land the 2024 Olympics, Dr. G,
mm-hmm.
we could fix one of the major problems that we're having right now, in that the Blue Jays need a stadium with grass field.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of them having to, go through all the trouble to do whatever it is that they're going to have to do there, getting the Olympics, means that we would get a new stadium for track and field, and then the Blue Jays could use it after us, right?
Will we be under grass by then?
Well, no.
I hope not. I hope we're both in good health.
It's all a matter now of getting Bob McCowan to get on board. As part of the Rogers family, and they own the Blue Jays.
Right.
You know, and we know how McCowan has a pull, right?
Well, he wears red all the time. He is the patriarch of the Rogers family. You're right about that.
Yeah, and I've always believed that, like, most of these people were against, you know, the Pan Am Games and Olympics. It's because they listen to McCowan too much and buy into what McCowan says too much.
Well, he's a powerful guy then. People got to learn to think for themselves if that's what sways their opinion.
Yeah, but you see, the way I see the Olympics and, like, the Pan Am Games, it's like, you know, like, you go to other people's houses for dinner or barbecue or whatever. There comes a point when you have to put one on too, right? So you have to host the event, you know, like, just to kind of show that you're not cheap. You know what I'm saying?
Why, it was our turn, you know, for the Pan Am Games.
Okay. I know it costs a lot of money, but, you know, like,
okay,
it's something that you have to do. If everybody were to say, we're not going to do it, then, you know, we'll never have it. And, I enjoy the Pan Am Games. I mean, even though I was out of town, I didn't get a chance to go to any of these events. Like, I watched it. You know, I really enjoyed it. Like, you know, like, I'm a big track and field guy, and, like, I thought it was great, man.
Hey, Clifton, real pleasure, okay?
Yeah, Dr. G.
Mike's in Niagara Falls. Hey, Mike.
Yes, good morning, Gert.
Good morning, Mike.
Gert, talking about possibly going for the Olympics would be such a waste. The Olympics, unless you had a plan to arrest all the committee when they got to Canada and extradite them to the U.S.
Like, maybe that's part of the plan. Who knows? You can write that in.
They make people look like school children. You talk about corruption. I mean, not only that. I do have a question for you, though, about the Pan Am Games, Gord.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say a venue like the Velodrome or the kayaking thing they built with the big pumps for the white water.
Yeah.
Could you or I go use those? Or are they locked up now and only for insurance purposes, only open for when elite athletes want to use them?
Well, I would think you'd... I don't think you just walk on, for starters. But they would be... You're building something for the elite athletes. Okay, yeah, that's obviously the end there, that now... There was a velodrome in Montreal for the Olympics, and they tore it down like 10 years later, whatever. I don't know why. So here you got something for elite cyclists that they can go... you've got a pool that can be used by elite athletes, but also regular swim clubs and that and all that. That's my understanding. And I would think same with the kayak and all that. I mean, as far as the average person's accessibility to it, you'd have to check it out. I would think within reason, they would be looking to do that. The other thing to get back about the Olympics is, you know, the IOC members, whatever you want to look at. And they were the same IOC members that were there when Vancouver hosted what was considered a very successful Winter Olympics, when Calgary hosted what was considered a very successful Winter Olympics in 1988. And, you know, the one point, whether you're for or against the Olympics coming to Toronto, certainly, and I read a good article in one of the papers about it this morning. I do read newspapers, by the way, and talked about 1996 and the fact that whatever was a Bread's Not Circus was the campaign to not spend money on the Olympics and put in other social programs. Now, you did not, it's not like the money automatically that you, this chunk of dough that is targeted for the Olympics easily comes, trickles the other way and cures all our social ills. I mean, there was no appreciable difference that way. So all I'm saying is if that's your reason for being against an Olympic bid, and I'm cool if you're against an Olympic bid, that's not going to be the result. That wasn't the result in 1996. And I don't think it'll be the result in 2024. We'll take the break. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls when we return. It's a nice day kicking things off with Scott Russell, the postmortem of Pan Am Games, and getting your thoughts about what a lot of people feel was a wonderful number of days here. Again, keeping it in context, it wasn't the Olympics. It's not the big party around the world. And to get your thoughts about that a little bit later on, we'll talk some hockey, talk baseball about that game, that unusual, crazy, unfortunate loss for the Toronto Blue Jays against Seattle yesterday, as Buck Martinez will join us a bit later on. Ian Hutchison, the RBC Canadian Open. And we almost had a Canadian win it. It looked pretty good heading into the final round. So Hutch will join us to talk about that. David Amber will talk more about some of the great stories, great Canadian stories, athlete-wise, at the Pan Am Games. Gord Stellick in for Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Gord Stellick in for Jeff Blair on a beautiful Monday morning. Jeff Blair will be in later on for Bob McCowan on Primetime Sports. So enjoying back in the saddle, back in the chair all this week. Filling in for Jeff, of course, we'll count down the baseball trade deadline for sure. We'll check in on the RBC Canadian Open. Ian Hutchison will join us the top of the hour. Buck Martinez will talk about those Toronto Blue Jays. And yeah, that was the strange things that have happened in Seattle. None stranger than probably Buck Martinez breaking his leg and or ankle and then getting two players out, ending his baseball career all those years ago. But strange one yesterday with the triple play against the Toronto Blue Jays in their walk-off loss, walk-off home run loss to the Seattle Mariners. But back at it about the Pan Am experience. Scott Russell kicked things off the top of the hour. Been enjoying chatting with our listeners about what they liked or didn't like about the past number of days here in the Toronto and surrounding area. 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Ron in Toronto. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Gord. Big fan of yours. Well, you do a great job.
Well, thanks, Ron. Appreciate it.
My opinion is I'm a Toronto-born and raised guy, and I was extremely proud of the Pan Am Games, and I looked at it as an athletic endeavor. And, you know, a lot of us in Toronto, if it's not the best of the best, if it's just junior A hockey, or if it's the Marlies, if I can't get tickets to the Leafs, the Marlies aren't good enough. I know the Marlies draw fairly well, but still, you know, there's that attitude. And I was saying to your screener that, you know, I was disappointed that, you know, some of the powers that be in politics warned everybody to please get out of town during the Pan Am Games because it's just going to be a disaster. And then the same guys a few weeks later said, hey, I wonder why we're not selling that many tickets. We've only sold 800,000 tickets so far. Wow, what a disappointment. Well, you created your own problem, you know. But to me, I loved it. I love to see those athletes winning. I love to see the athletes that didn't win accept the the fact that they didn't win a medal, but they were happy to be there. I love the effort, and I thought it was fantastic for the city. If people don't realize, I think that really, really put Toronto a little bit higher, not much higher, because I think we're very well received internationally as a city. But it did, it really helped us. And you know what? To me, it also bothers me, Gord, when people suggest that it cost us $2.4 billion. No, it did not cost us $2.4 billion, Gord. We spent $2.4 billion. And guess what? There's a lot of ladies and gentlemen around this city right now that cash paychecks because they helped build all those facilities. There was taxes paid on all that money as well. And so, and what is the legacy? We've got some beautiful, beautiful buildings. The one in Markham is fabulous. I don't know whether you got there. I didn't hear all of your previous conversation, but I think the legacy is fantastic. Whether or not we get the Olympics or not is, I would support that, but that's a huge, huge endeavor, and I think we have to be cautious with that in terms of we don't want to get turned down three times. But let's stay with the Pan Am Games. I thought they were excellent, and you know, there were some world class athletes there, mm-hmm. many from Canada. Our best, a lot of our best, were there, and our newest best, Degrassi, and people like him. that are coming to the forefront. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I don't know why so many people were negative about it, quite frankly.
Appreciate the call. And, you know, one is about, I'm glad you didn't say put Toronto on the map, because Toronto doesn't need to be put on the map. Toronto is on the map. And that's never the case of an event to do it or not. And all I just, you know, the economics, I'm not going to get into debating about it, because people will have their opinions. But it's kind of like, what is the big social event of the season? Okay, so if you're at the big social event of the season, great, but there's many other smaller parties that you have way more fun at. So that's what I look at it. It wasn't the Olympics, but it's like every walk of life. What's fun? Do you need to go to the Toronto Film Festival, or just during the course of 12 months go to a couple movies just to enjoy it? I mean, to me, that's the kind of comparable entertainment-wise. Mark is in Richmond Hill. Mark.
Morning, Gord.
Morning, Mark.
From a former North York boy, I can remember you working down in Dominion. I've never got a chance.
Finch and Leslie, that's right.
Yeah, I can remember going in with my parents. I can remember you doing the shelves.
And that's what you got to do.
And I never got a chance to ever phone in and say anything to you, but I just want to let you know how proud my family is that you were general manager of the Leafs, especially during that era. And it's something that you should be very proud of. I think you did a great job. And
well, I appreciate that. Nelson Millman says we got to stay out of the 80s. And actually working at Dominion is the 70s at Finch and Leslie. It's no longer there. I had the big, you had the Dominion stands for quality, or my name isn't Gord. That was it. That was my big, big name tag back then. What's your Pan Am experience like, Mark?
You know, Gord, I'm a proud Canadian. I'm so proud of our athletes, but there was just something about these Pan Am games for, you know, the last caller said, for putting Toronto on the map. We're the third, fourth biggest city in North America. We are on the map. And I just expected something bigger. I really don't understand the Pan Am thing. You know, it's almost like half of the greatest athletes aren't here. And to me, I just thought it was, I don't want to say a waste of money, because we did build some great events for our future athletes. But for a city like we have, I expect the Olympics. I don't expect, I'm sorry to say, but second-class events. And that's how I feel about the Pan Am Games.
Okay, but quick one then. Are you saying you would back a Toronto bid for the 2024 Olympics?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, maybe we'll get a venue up at Finch Leslie. How about that? And we'll see what gives. Hey, nice hearing from you, Mark. Likewise. Got to another Mark in Markham. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Gord. Listen, I'm going to go positive and negative.
Okay.
The positive is I went to one of the events and it was a lot of fun. It was good. It was a lot of fun. It was a good evening out. The problem I have is, first of all, that event took place alongside the TFC, which was kind of strange in itself, because I don't know why they'd have both going on at the same time, but I guess they had a reason. The thing that got me last night in the guy's speech, why do we have to mention that there was a million tickets and the best sponsored Pan Am games of all time? Is that justifying that they screwed up? Because the athletes really didn't care about that. Neither did I.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all got this feeling that they're going to fudge the numbers one way or the other anyways to make it look like it's better than it is. I hate to sound that way, but that's kind of the way us out here feel about it. On the other side of things, too, marketing-wise, my problem is they had a bunch of school kids when they were in school that they could have marketed these games to. They chose not to. They had a bunch of us wondering about the Pan Am games and what it's all about, where the venues were, what's going on. I had no idea where any venues were whatsoever. They had no advertising. They had no pamphlets out that I saw that, you know, from the bank, from anything, that would have pushed me into saying, oh, yeah, track and field's over here, this is there. I mean, I didn't learn about it till like 3 days before. And I got a real problem with that. And the organizers, on the last thing I want to say, they cannibalized the ticket sales because the OLG ended up getting a crap load of tickets that they were giving away to people themselves. So I wonder, of all the tickets that were out there, how many were actually bought. In the end, I know that they were bought. But in the beginning, how many were actually bought by us as taxpayers to be given out to other taxpayers who were freebied and promoed by all the government factions that are out there?
Yeah, I certainly don't have those answers, but I appreciate your positive negative, because I agree with you on the second part. As much as I said I enjoyed the Pan Am experience, I think it was marketed incorrectly at the start. And at the end, it was kind of a lot of people had to get a 11th hour quick educational course. Okay, Dan in Mississauga. Dan, got 1 minute, okay?
Okay. Well, I think the Pan Am Games went about as well as could be expected, given the TTC didn't complete the subway line out to York University on time. There were a couple days I was out there and the place was half empty, and I just kept thinking, if there'd been that subway stop across the street, our athletes would have had a lot better cheering. As for the Pan Am game, moving from the Pan Ams to the Olympics, well, that's a whole new category. That's like going from the CFL to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to think really carefully about some of the things the previous caller and other callers said, and about whether or not we could spend $4 or $5 billion on something better for Ontario. Then we got to think about that before we go jump in and drink the Olympic Kool-Aid.
Yeah, appreciate that, Dan. And as I mentioned, it doesn't, and again, I'm not trying to sway people's opinions, but the $4 or $5 billion or whatever the figure may be, it doesn't always mean it's funneled back into the areas we think it will be when you are going after something like the Olympics. Sorry, the cause we couldn't get to, but great to hear about the Pan Am experiences. One I do want to throw out there is all the people wearing orange shirts, the volunteers, fabulous job. I know a lot of you didn't have all the answers, okay? I know, it's like sometimes you had to ask a few, right? But great, great enthusiasm and attitudes, and you were volunteering. I hope you had a great experience, because I found that one of the real positives. And thank you to the guy who finally directed me to where I parked my car at York University. God, I was lost. Justin was getting ticked too. I don't know where I parked my car. I'm wandering, but got it. So the track and field visit was great. Come back. Of course, Buck Martinez will join us later on. We'll talk about the Toronto Blue Jays, but the RBC Canadian Open, Ian Hutchison will kick off the next hour. A Canadian comes close, but no cigar. Gord Stellick in for Jeff Blair all this week on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.